It is the world's largest pharmaceutical company. And that's why this news last fall sounded like a huge victory for the government and a huge loss for Pfizer.
The largest health care fraud settlement in the history of the Department of Justice.
The government was building a case against Pfizer for fraudulently marketing a drug that had raked in hundreds of millions of dollars in profits, a painkiller called Bextra. Pfizer aggressively marketed it for uses and in doses not approved by the FDA. Instead of prescribing, say, ibuprofen at pennies a pill, they prescribed Bextra at nearly $3 a pill for all kinds of unapproved uses.
Sales were very good.
It brought Pfizer nearly $1 billion in profits, and it cost us all because Medicare, Medicaid, and our private insurance picked up much of the tab. Mike Laux, then a federal prosecutor in Boston, launched an investigation.
If the company is able to push the product for the unapproved indication, then it makes a mockery, if you will, of the FDA approval process.
Even though prosecutors said the illegal conduct was tolerated and encouraged by sales managers across the country, Pfizer escaped the ultimate punishment.
Just as giant banks on Wall Street were considered too big to fail, Pfizer was considered too big to nail.
We have a question from Yasmin Hassan from CBC News. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning. Thanks for taking our questions. I was just wondering about the medical exemptions. Would all of the medical exemptions currently provided to members of your caucus comply with the Ontario Ministry of Health and NACI guidelines on who should be eligible for these exemptions from vaccine requirements?
I'd like to take this opportunity to remind every Canadian that vaccines are safe and effective. I am fully vaccinated. I encourage every Canadian who has not yet gotten a vaccine for COVID-19 to do so. All of our members of parliament are compliant with House of Commons rules on COVID restrictions, and we rely on the advice of medical experts, not the Liberal Party of Canada.
Follow up?
We need to be using all the tools available to fight COVID-19. Canadians need vaccines, rapid tests, and information to turn the corner in the health crisis and to rebuild our economy. We cannot secure jobs, we cannot secure our economy, and we cannot secure our future until Canadians are vaccinated. Without vaccines, there is no recovery.
Thank you, Ms. Evans, Mr. Flint. Subdivision K, Quarantine Act. Ms. Evans.
you, Mr. Chair. I'll speak to Subdivision K as well as Subdivision L, given their similarities.
Thank you.
The proposed legislative amendment to the Quarantine Act and to the Human Pathogens and Toxins Act would streamline the regulatory process under both acts by repealing the requirement for the Minister of Health to table proposed regulations before both houses of Parliament prior to making new or updated regulations. This will allow the Minister to proceed through the standard governing council process, including pre-publication and public consultation in the Canada Gazette. New or updated regulations under both of these acts would continue to comply with the Cabinet Directive on Regulations. These proposed amendments would put the Public Health Agency of Canada on level footing with other Canadian regulators, and we will be more responsive to stakeholder needs for nimble, agile regulations which are kept up to date by facilitating the removal of updated, outdated, or ineffective regulations which may not be adequately protecting the public health and safety or may hinder innovation and economic growth. So our ability to have up-to-date regulations will be a benefit for the Canadian public, for the travel and transportation sectors, as well as for the biotech and medical research sectors. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? Quiet bunch at the moment. Must be simple and straightforward, Cindy. Then, with that, thank you all for dealing with all those subsections.